verses 1 through 8. At the same time, I'd like to thank those of you who are mindful that I'll make 21 tomorrow. Some people think I will make 21. I'll be 54 years of age tomorrow. That is amazing. Verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word.
Brother David, for reading the word of God. Lord, I need you. Ladies, thank you. As you were singing that, my thought went in this direction. That's the message of the Bible. Lord, I need you, and I will trust you. And we do. And even now as we open up his word, we say, Lord, I need you. Help me to understand your truth. Help me to continue to worship you by your word. Let's do that right now. Let's bow. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being here today. We thank you, God, for gathering your people. Father, what a blessing it is that those who know you, those who have been called by you, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, can gather together in a time of worship, togetherness, sharing, participating together in bringing glory to your name and worshiping you through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. As we open the scriptures this morning, Father, we need your help. We cry out to you. Please guard our thoughts. Guard our attention, our affections. God, keep us centered upon you even now as we look at this passage today. For Father, we would learn more of the church and your plan for it. And God would glorify you through the knowledge and through the application of that truth by your grace in our lives. To you be glory and honor and praise we give to you through Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. How often have you asked someone to come to church and you get an answer something like this? Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need the church. Or, I don't want anything to do with the church. I can do without any established religion. Or, I can worship and serve God without a church. We look at these statements and we think of how we've heard them. And we say to ourselves, well, they don't know what they're talking about because the church is important. But just how important is the church to you? Do you understand what the church is? Do you know its purpose? Do you know how it's to function? Is it important enough that you meet when the church comes together? Is it important enough that you place yourself under the direction and the authority of its leaders? Is it important enough that you're serving other people by God's power through the ministries of a local church? You see, folks, we as believers may acknowledge that the church is important. We may look at one another. We may in our minds right now say, well, yes, the church is important. But do we prove it by our actions? We've been looking in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the believers in Ephesus, and we've been looking at truth about the church. And we have found out so far in our study that to the church, Christ has been made head over all things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. We have learned that it is to the church that God has given His rich mercy and great love and marvelous grace, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We have found out that it is the church that's the one body, the new man, made up of both Jew and Gentile, brought together by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we looked at that in Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. And now, in Ephesians 3, Paul gives us some insight into the importance of the church. And he describes to us why the church is important. So this morning, let's continue our study of the church. And let's do that by looking at the first part of Ephesians chapter 3. And let's find out why the church was important to the Apostle Paul. So Paul begins in chapter 3, verse 1, to once again pray for the believers in Ephesus. Now the word prayer is not mentioned there, but yet we look at that statement, and then later in this chapter, it's like he begins and then he thinks of something else by the Holy Spirit, and then he gets back to the prayer. But he begins now, he's just explained in the last part of chapter 2, the great work of Jesus Christ in making one body, one new man from Jews and Gentiles. And folks, think about that, because that's unbelievable in itself. That God through Jesus Christ would bring people together into one body, one group of people made up of Jews and Gentiles. So that's a miracle, that's amazing in itself. That Jews and Gentiles would be brought together in one group, one body. They were socially, politically, religiously, completely apart, but now in Christ Jesus they are one. When we look at the first part of this chapter, there are three words that Paul uses to help us understand his relationship and his commitment to the church. And these words, the truth behind these words, will help us this morning see just how important the church is. The first word that I would draw your attention to is the word prisoner. Prisoner. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." And so immediately in this section, he declares that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now let's think about this, because he is a prisoner, and yet he's a prisoner of the Romans. He was arrested and accused by the Jews. He is a prisoner of the Romans. He's in chains by the Romans. And yet Paul says here that he is a prisoner because of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul believed in God's new program of uniting both Jews and Gentiles into one body, the church. And Paul knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had called him into this very special ministry, and Paul was commissioned and he was determined to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And it was hard, folks. It was a struggle. It was difficult, but Paul was committed to God's plan in forming this new group, this new body, this new people that's called the church. Now, just for a moment, think about Paul's ministry. I mean, Paul was taking the gospel of God's grace throughout Asia Minor and Greece. He was sharing the gospel with both Gentiles and Jews. People were coming to Christ. Jews were coming to Christ. Gentiles were coming to Christ. Churches were being formed, started as he moved throughout the Mediterranean area. That was happening, and when word got back to the church in Jerusalem that these things were happening, some of those believers began to question that. What's happening here? Gentiles are now becoming a part of the church. And it became so serious that they actually called a council. We know it as the Jerusalem Council. We see it in Acts chapter 15. And Paul defended the grace of God there and the unity of the church in that council. The whole issue there was the Gentiles coming into the church and the very basis of salvation. And so Paul was sharing the gospel. He was traveling around the Mediterranean, and people were beginning to question, what's happening? What's going on? People are coming together, Jews and Gentiles. As a matter of fact, wherever Paul founded churches, they were composed of Jews and Gentiles. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, he said that all are one in Christ Jesus. And folks, remember this. He suffered great hardship and difficulty in taking the gospel to the Gentiles. Several times in his letters to the churches, he reminded them of how he suffered and what he went through to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And now, even now, he finds himself in prison. Finds himself in chains because Jesus Christ told him to take the good news of God's grace to the non-Jews of the world. And you know, folks, Paul did not consider it a bad thing to be a prisoner of Jesus. He realized he was in chains because Christ wanted him in chains. And he was so submitted to Christ, and he was so submitted to the work of God and the work of the gospel going throughout the world. He was so devoted and committed to that he looked at the circumstances that he was in, whatever they were, and he considered those circumstances to be opportunities for the gospel. Hold your place here in Ephesians and go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and look at verse 12. So again, remember, these are the prison epistles. So he's chained to a Roman guard. He's under arrest. He doesn't have complete freedom here. And yet he's writing to these Philippian believers. They're discouraged. Yet he's the one who's chained. And he writes to encourage them. Look what he says in verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, folks, he had his head and his heart straight when it came to the plan and purpose of God. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Let's step back just for a moment and let's think about ourselves this morning. Are these people beside you and in front of you and behind you and around you in this community of believers, are these people so important to you that you would be a prisoner of Jesus Christ? See, Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the church. Are these people around you so important that you would be a prisoner? Are you willing to suffer hardships and trouble and persecution for the gospel of God's grace? Folks, are you willing this morning to lay aside prejudice or class distinctions or personal animosities to be that one new body, the church? Are you willing today to drive a few miles, to give up some personal time, to lay aside personal preferences, to sacrifice what you want, to get close to people, people who are different, people who have different backgrounds,
people who have different interests? Are you willing to put on the chains of Jesus Christ? Amen. You see, Paul said, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of Christ. And because he was a prisoner of Christ, then he would take the gospel to the world. And he would take the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles. Paul believed the church was so important that he willingly became a prisoner. Look at the second word. That second word is mystery. Begin with verse 2. He says, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel." Now I want you to notice this word mystery that Paul uses here, because this is not the first time that he uses it in the letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul mentions the mystery of God's will. Now in the New Testament, when we see this word mystery, we need to understand it. It's not something eerie. It's not something mystical as we would think of it today. But a mystery in the New Testament is a truth that was hidden by God in times past, but now has been revealed. That's the word that Paul uses. That's the idea that he gives. So Paul is sharing now with the Ephesians that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles because of this mystery. Now look at verse 2. Because he says that a dispensation or a stewardship of the grace of God was given to him for the Gentiles. Now this word dispensation literally means household management. Sometimes it's translated management, sometimes stewardship, sometimes administration. In ancient households, a steward or a manager was responsible for taking care of that which belonged to someone else. He was an administrator. He was a manager. And so what Paul was saying here, and this is important as we understand the importance of the church, Paul was given by God the management or the stewardship or the responsibility of dispensing the grace of God. So he was a steward by God's grace and for God's grace. Now in an ancient household, this house manager or this administrator was very important. The owner took great care in selecting the best possible person for that responsibility. And the function of the ancient home was dependent on that house manager. Folks, I would say to you, and what Paul I think is sharing to the Ephesians is this, that the Lord took great care in selecting the people that would take the gospel to the Gentiles. He selected Paul of Tarsus. And this responsibility was so important that the truth of this one body, the church, was revealed to Paul through revelation. That's what Paul says here in verse 3. In other words, this was so important that God actually revealed this truth to the Apostle Paul and to others, to other apostles and prophets. God gave Paul this truth. It was hid in the past, but now, in Paul's time, it was made known. And according to verse 4, Paul had knowledge. God gave it to him. Paul had knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now look at verse 5. Because Paul says, "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." So this mystery in past ages was not known, but now, Paul says, this is Paul's day, now it's revealed to the apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So get this now, folks, to specific men, to special men, the truth of this mystery, the truth of the church was revealed. Now you know what that means? That means that that Old Testament believers had no understanding of the church. There were little glimpses. There was truth here and there that would God would give to them, but they had no understanding of the church. Now, God had revealed much truth to them, but the truth of the church he had kept a secret. It was a mystery. And though Gentiles are mentioned throughout the Old Testament, and they would receive blessings by God, and oftentimes blessings connected to the nation of Israel. And those blessings are also tied to the millennial kingdom. That's what we see in the Old Testament. Those Jews who knew the Scriptures knew that God's blessing would also be given to the Gentiles. But in the Old Testament, they just didn't know how it would take place. It was there. It was stated very clearly. But how it would happen, they did not know. And so this truth of one body, one new man, this group of people made up both of Jews and Gentiles, it was not revealed to the Old Testament saints. It was hidden until God decided to reveal it. And now, it's what Paul says in verse 5, but now, and again, this now represents Paul's day, it's been revealed. And what he says there in verse 5 is that the apostles and the prophets, that's New Testament apostles, New Testament prophets, they received revelation from God. In other words, God spoke to them, and then they declared what God spoke, or they wrote down what God spoke. See, that's revelation, and that's inspiration. As a matter of fact, what you have before you this morning is the work of God through the apostles and the prophets. We call it the Scriptures, the Word of God. And so this revelation they received, it was complete, because Paul says in chapter 2, verse 20, they were the foundation of the church. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So the question then is this. We've already answered it in several ways, but the question is, well, what is this mystery? Look how Paul describes it in verse 6. Here it is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. Folks, the mystery is that there would be an unbelievable union between Jews and Gentiles. Those who were near and those who were far are brought together into one group, one body in Christ. And look how he describes this one body. He says they are fellow heirs. It means they are together heirs, shared heirs. Folks, what that means for us today is, when we think of the Scriptures, that God's inheritance is not limited to Israel, but it's made available to all through Jesus Christ. Now, there are specific parts of that inheritance to Israel, and yet Paul now is talking about this new body, this new group of people made up of both Jews and Gentiles. He also describes it in verse 6. He says, of the same body. It means one body, a together body, the same body, one group, who shares a living, vital relationship with God and with one another. And then he even says they're partakers of the promise. It means they share the promise. The Jews and the Gentiles share together in the promise of Messiah and every blessing that is connected with His new body. You see, it's a new group. It's not Jews, just Jews. It's not just Gentiles. It's a new group, a new body that's been brought together, made up of Jews and Gentiles. And folks, Paul has been given the mystery. The mystery was revealed to him, and he has faithfully proclaimed it through the gospel. And the good news, the gospel, is that Christ died and rose again for sinners, and all who trust in Him can become a part of this new body, this church, this new group of people. And so if you want the simple answer to what is the mystery, you are the mystery.
Amen.
We are the mystery. You see, in Christ, we are the church. And Paul says we are fellow heirs. We are the same body. We are sharers of the promise. And so Paul was faithful to share the good news of the gospel, and he continuously
proclaimed the truth of this mystery, this one body that was made up of Jews and Gentiles brought together in Christ. And whatever the cost, he was willing to do it. And so that then causes us to step back and to ask these questions. So how faithful are we to proclaim the good news? I mean, we today can continue to share the same message that Paul proclaimed. We today can tell others of this one body that's come together in Christ Jesus. And our sharing of the gospel reveals just how important this one body is. Folks, let's not forget this morning, that this one body is also called the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And we've said this several times in the course of our study. You can't separate the head of the body from the body. And so that means that when you invite people to church, you're inviting them to Christ. You're inviting them to the body of Christ. And of course, your goal when you invite them to the meeting of the church is that they will come to know Christ, or if they know Christ, that they will come to grow in Christ. Amen. One of the greatest witnesses for Jesus Christ is a local church who is becoming like Jesus Christ. And folks, when a local church is functioning together and serving together and growing together, people will see Jesus Christ. See, that's what the church does. That's why the church exists. So Paul believed the church to be important because God gave Paul the responsibility to share the mystery of the church. There's a third word, and that word is servant. Look at verses 7 and 8. Paul says, "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So notice now that Paul considered himself to be a minister of the gospel. Now this word minister, as it's translated, actually, the Greek word is diakonos, and it means servant. And it commonly referred to servants who waited on tables. And from this word, we get our English word deacon, a servant, ministers. And folks, a servant acts on the commands of others, submits to higher authority, gives himself for the benefit of others. And so Paul identifies himself here as a minister, a servant, according to the gift of God's grace. Think about this. Paul's service and taking to the gospel, it was not based on his ability, his education, his experience, and he had all those things. As a matter of fact, when he wrote to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3, he looked at his life and he looked at all those things that he had, and you know what he called all those things? Rubbish. These things are just rubbish. They're garbage. See, and he was looking at his relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Paul's service in taking the gospel to the Gentiles was not based on him or anything that he possessed. It was not based on his sufficiency or his abilities. But notice he says it's a gift. It means that he received it freely. It was given to him. It was a gift from God. See, and I think that Paul was thinking of his own past, and only by God's grace could this man serve the Lord. And this brought a humility and a lowliness to Paul, because he considered himself, he says here, the least of all the saints. And it was his privilege and it was his honor to be a servant or a minister by the grace of God. Folks, this then becomes the key to serving the Lord within the church, within the body of Christ. Because in humility and lowliness, we understand that serving the Lord through the local church is a great honor. It's a great privilege.
that God would use sinners such as we to be tools in sharing His good news with others, to be tools in helping people grow in their relationship with Christ is simply amazing when you begin to think about it. And folks, what that then means is that everything that you do in the body of Christ or for the body of Christ, within this body of Christ, everything that you do is important. Don't ever think that your service to the Lord through the church is not critical to God's work, because it is. Everything that you do, every work, every function in the body of Christ is important to the whole body. God has centered His plan for this age around local churches just like this. That's the center of God's plan. And it's so important that God will not leave the choosing of the servants or the conduct of their service to the abilities of sinful man. Look at verse 7. He says, "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me," look at this, "by the effective working of His power." And so this service was not Paul's choice, but it was the choosing of God through the working of His power. Folks, it was God's power that saved him. It was God's power that changed him. It was God's power that gave him this service, and it would be through God's power that he would serve. And so behind the true servant of God is always the power of God. It's always God's power. Before Paul came to know Christ, Paul had everything that he needed to succeed in the eyes of the world. He had education and prestige and power and purpose and pedigree. But when he came to Christ, he became a lowly servant, humble and weak and submissive. And that, folks, is exactly the person that God will use to share the gospel in His power. And so when we think of our service in this local church, you see, it's not about who we are. It's not about our abilities. It's not about our strengths. As a matter of fact, what it's about is our inability. And it's about our weakness. And it's about our insufficiency. Because when we come to that point that we acknowledge that and we understand that, and then we trust God, that's when the power of God is released into our lives. That's when we receive by faith His provision, His power to live this life and to be His servants. So I ask you, are you a servant? Are you a minister according to the gift of the grace of God? Let me get specific. So how are you serving right now in this local church? You can answer that. How are you serving right now in this local church? What are you doing for God's people right here in this local church? How are you functioning as a member of the body of Christ in this local body of Christ? And whose power are you depending on your own power or on God's power? You see, folks, right here is where the action is. This is the front lines of spiritual warfare. I mean, we're in the infantry. I'm still thinking of the Memorial Day, our Memorial Day time. We're in the infantry. We're in the mud marines. We're foot soldiers in God's plan for this age. And folks, when the gospel is heard and where people are saved and where lives are changed, you will find the humble, submissive servants of God working together in a local church. You see, brothers and sisters, the church was important to the Apostle Paul. How important is the church to you? Let's bow our heads.